I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, and rejoining us is still Steve Boniface from Find Pub Sport. We're going to be talking about England now. He had some free time. We hadn't had him on in a while. We're like, why not just double up? You're English. So obviously, this is crazy news. Sam Allardyce already sacked. After just 2 months, obviously not the way everyone thought that this would go. So for people that don't know, what has happened here? What has led to him being sacked so soon after being given the job?
Well, for people who don't know, I'm guessing you're not listening to this podcast, because the people who are interested in football will know, because you can't miss it. It is everywhere over here at the moment. In a nutshell, he's been found as part of an investigation into corruption in English football by The Telegraph. Many people are pointing fingers at The Telegraph, by the way, and saying they shouldn't have done this. But it's not their fault if the people they're talking to are corrupt. That he spoke about ways to get round rules regarding third-party ownership. He also offered to he also used his position as England manager to secure a role for himself as an ambassador in the Middle East or something like that, for at the cost of £400,000 to him in his pocket. He criticised Roy Hodgson and took the mickey out of his speech impediment, and just basically came across as a very arrogant person. I mean, a lot of people have also said, if you've been following the coverage, that it was not corrupt what he said, it was just ill-advised. And technically speaking, he didn't say anything wrong. And a lot of the things he did say were, he did clarify by saying, I'd have to run it past people to see if it's okay. But the fact is, it's a massive embarrassment for Big Sam to have been caught even talking about these things when he's only 67, or he was only 67 days into the job that he'd wanted his whole career.
Yeah, it obviously has been very crazy. In the interim, Gareth Southgate will take over for your next couple rounds of friendlies and World Cup qualifiers. Is this acceptable? Obviously, there was no way to have anybody lined up, as this was such kind of a bang-bang kind of thing. What's the assumption of how England will play under this interim manager?
He's done well at under-21 level. So I think a few people are seeing it as his audition for having the job full-time. Although when Roy left, he did say he didn't want it full-time at this particular point in his career. So whether that's changed in the course of Sam Allardyce's tenure, who knows? It hasn't been very long. But if these four games go well and England play well and play better than they have in recent times, then Southgate might feel like, you know, the timing is right and pressure will be put on him to go full time. I mean, initially, it's going to be a wait and see what happens. Like you say, there was no plan for this. My initial thought was actually that I felt a little bit sorry for Big Sam, because he's made it clear that ever since he started his managerial career, he wanted to manage England. This is his dream job. And I thought, oh, you know what? There's some reporters gone in there and tried to make him say stuff. But then the more I think about it, the more I think, you know what? This is a man who is getting paid however much already by the English FA. He criticises them for being money-grabbing as well. That's something else he said in this taped conversation, he talks about the FA being money grabbing and how they mismanaged Wembley or something. And he's using his place to get a job for another £400,000 as if he needs it on top of what he's getting for the job he's got. So I think it's just greed. I think, and hey, shock horror headline, there is greed in football. Who'd have thought? But I think it's just, it's caught him out this time. In terms of what happens next, Southgate, if he does well, we'll see. If not, then I'm looking at the BBC Sport website as we speak, and there's a little picture here of Eddie Howe, Alan Pardew and Steve Bruce, who are the English names in the frame. Greg Dyke has once again brought up Arsene Wenger, which I cannot see happening. But he is a name that always seems to be mentioned whenever the England job is around and about. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't think they've got a plan yet, other than to see how Southgate does over these next few games. But to be honest, if he does well, then he's got every chance of getting offered the job at least on a full-time basis, because what we saw in that first game in charge for Sam Allardyce wasn't a massive improvement on what we saw over the summer, I didn't think. He picked eight of the same players. It took a last gasp goal to beat a team that England should have comfortably beaten. And then did you see the, Kev, did you see the interview? It really made me laugh, that he gave after the England game last time.
No.
Because he was asked, he said, oh, what do you make of Wayne Rooney dropping deep all the time? Because often Wayne Rooney was playing between his two centre-backs in that England game. And as a result, he was getting in Dyer's way and Dele Alli's way as well. He was taking up their space on the pitch. And Sam's response, I'm paraphrasing, was to say, well, who am I to tell Wayne Rooney what to do?
Yeah, he has more international experience.
Oh, yeah, man. Who am I to tell him what to do? Well, you're the manager. That's who you are to tell him what to do. And if he's not doing if he's doing something which is damaging the team and it's against what you've told him to do, drop him. He's one player. Anyway, so if Gareth Southgate can overcome this malaise that seems to be over the England team at the moment and maybe freshen things up a bit, then we shall see, I guess. He's got every chance compared to any of these other candidates whose names are in the frame.
Fair enough. The Telegraph also mentioning that this may be a deeper issue, saying that there are eight managers or former managers that may have partaken in the same kind of activities. I'm going to say allegedly a whole lot now, because we don't want to get into any weird trouble like that. Allegedly, this is all happening. Are you surprised or upset by the fact that this is happening in football? For me, I'm just not that surprised. This is the same sport that's run by FIFA.
Yeah.
Who are constantly dealing with corruption and backhanded deals all over the place. I'm personally not 100% sure why this is so stunning to everyone. But what are your feelings about this coming out? And do you feel it hurts English football on the whole?
My feelings personally, I mean, they haven't named any of these eight managers. Apparently there's two championship managers as well who they're investigating with the help of the Telegraph. The FA and Telegraph are working together. I am not surprised in the slightest, nor do I think it should happen. There is enough money. It goes back to what I was saying about greed. There is enough money floating around in football from legitimate means, as in fans who are willing to pay however much money for tickets and however much money for TV contracts. And there is enough legitimate money rolling around in football for this not to be a problem. But then again, wherever there is a lot of money, there's always going to be corruption. So part of me thinks it shouldn't happen, but part of me isn't surprised that it happens. And part of me thinks, you know what, it's never going to go away completely. So I've got to try not to let it sour the enjoyment of the game. I mean, I sympathise with people who look at footballers and say, they are overpaid for what they do. There's way too much money going to these players for what they do when you think about on a larger basis. I don't want to get too deep here, but, you know, some of the issues going on in the world and what could be done with some of that money. But at the same time, they are part of a free market, and the free market dictates that people want to pay this much money to watch them play. And that's not their fault. And so it's not Arsenal's fault that people will pay up over £1,000 for a season ticket. And if one person doesn't want their season ticket, someone else will pay for it. It's not their fault. That's business. I don't want to sound like Donald Trump at all.
You sure don't.
I really, really don't. But I think in this context, it's supply and demand. There is a huge demand for football. And no matter how many times I look at it and go, you know what, the behaviour of football players, to my personal moral compass, is quite often horrible. But at the same time, I can't help watching the game. I can't help sitting down and watching a game of football because it's a great game. Mm. And as long as that is the case, I think I kind of class myself as an average football fan. And as an average football fan, I dislike the climate that the game is played in, and I dislike a lot of the personalities involved, but I do like the game. And that wins out in the end. So, no, I'm not surprised that there's bribery and allegations and bungs being alleged for legal reasons. We have to use the word alleged, like you say. But I honestly don't think it's going to go anywhere. I think it's always going to happen until the bubble bursts, if the bubble ever does burst, because it seems like people have been saying that's going to happen for a long time now.
Hmm. Yeah, hopefully this doesn't continue, but obviously it will, is basically my unfortunate take on it.
I prefer that it didn't happen. I prefer that the game was played in the right spirit. I prefer that the finances behind the game played in the right spirit. I prefer that the millions of pounds that were put into the top end of the game were shared out a bit so that the grassroots of the game got a little bit more of it. Mm. But it's not going to happen. So, you know, we've just got to enjoy what we have in a sense. So nothing we can do.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You mentioned Eddie Howe and how he's and how he is being mentioned for really not on purpose for the England job long term. I think a lot of people are of that opinion. We just recorded a segment on Arsenal where he was being bandied about for potential replacements for Wenger. It's too soon for Arsenal. I assume you think it's too soon for England as well.
I do think it's too soon for England. He will be England manager at some point, but. Can I let you in on a secret, Kev?
Go for it.
England aren't very good at football.
Yeah.
So.
But they are during qualifiers. So.
They are during qualifiers. During qualifiers, brilliant. Especially now that, you know, qualifiers are extended and like, if qualifying's brilliant and great. But in tournament football, England just aren't very good. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the players. It's just one of those things. So whether it is Eddie Howe or Alan Pardew or Steve Bruce or Sam Allardyce or me or you put in charge of England, we could stay in charge for the qualifying campaign, do a tournament, get knocked out. And for some reason, that's a big deal that we get knocked out of tournaments. Okay, last time it was against Iceland, and I'm pretty sure there's more people living in my street than live in Iceland.
To be fair, every team but one gets knocked out at each tournament.
Exactly.
It's just a degree of one. It's just a degree of when, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a degree of when. So whoever the England manager is, I mean, you could argue that the most successful England manager of recent times, or England managers of recent times, were Terry Venables. And when I say recent times, that's 20 years ago as well. Terry Venables, because he got us to a semi-final, and Glenn Hoddle, because he actually had a generation of players who looked like they could win it, and then all that stuff happened with Beckham and Simeone and the red card against Argentina and England getting knocked out. England aren't the kind of team who are going to be real proper favourites to win a World Cup in the same way that Germany or... And don't get me wrong, I support England. I'm not. It's not like they're on TV and I don't sit and watch them and want them to win. It's not that I don't want them to win. I just don't think they will all the time. And I'm disappointed. I was obviously disappointed that we got knocked out to Iceland last time. But part of me was thinking, well, at least that saves us going out to penalties against Germany in the next round or whatever it might have been. So, because England aren't very good at football, whoever is in charge of them is on borrowed time from day one. Sam Allardyce happened to last less than 70 days because he said some stupid stuff, but he wouldn't have won the World Cup with England. He wouldn't have won the Euros with England. Eddie Howe isn't going to. Alan Pardew isn't going to. Steve Bruce isn't going to. Arsene Wenger isn't going to. We just don't have the players. And this is sort of the ongoing debate in terms of what should we do about the number of foreign players in the Premier League. Is that damaging the England national team and all of that kind of stuff? And my take on it is, if it is damaging the national team, so what? Because you get a national tournament or an international tournament every 2 years, which we get to enjoy for the space of, what, a month?
Yeah.
I would rather have an excellent Premier League filled with all the talent from all over the world that I get to watch every week of the season than have a good England team that I get to watch every 2 years.
Hmm.
So,
that's
and
a hot
until,
take, man.
And again, if I'm an average football fan, then I think that is a majority. People might bemoan the lack of English players, but really, next time they need to sign a striker, they're not going to be looking at British players unless it's, you know, real top level people like. Well, you could even argue that Harry Kane's doing all right again this season. He's kind of seems to have got over a blip. You'd know about that better than me. Mm. But Vardy isn't on the form he was on last year. So yeah, if your team needs a striker, the names that are bandied around aren't English names, and you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You can't say there aren't enough English players, but then as soon as you need a right back, you go looking at La Liga. So I think I would rather have that in and out every week, great players from all over the world playing in the Premier League and being able to watch them on Match of the Day than just occasional success with England. And then as a result, the Premier League suffers, because I believe it would. And the thing is, if that is sort of an unspoken acceptance, which I believe that is an unspoken acceptance that a lot of football fans have in the UK, then nothing's going to change again. It's always going to be the same, because the share of English players isn't going to go up, because the demand for foreign talent who are more talented than the English players will always be higher.
Yeah.
So yeah, and there are all sorts of examples of teams who do better than England without having the same infrastructure as England have, and without having that many people in there. Look at Iceland, for example. Iceland got further than us. Wales got further than us, and Wales haven't got any more first team players playing in the Premier League, or, well, the Welsh League is a lower part of the English league system, isn't it? So the Welsh Premier League, kind of, if you get promoted, you go into the English system. So the Premier League is still the top of the tree in terms of Welsh football. and they got further than England, and they haven't got rules about how many Welsh people have to be able to play in the top part of the Premier League. So I just don't, it's just that the players aren't good enough. And I would rather that England stayed mediocre for the Premier League to stay good.
Yeah. This is a weird thing that came to mind while you were saying that. I've heard a lot of people criticize Serie A over the past few years and how Italian players never leave the country. And then I realized that on probably one hand, you could name the British players that aren't playing in the Premier League, or at least in the UK. So that all of a sudden seems a very unfounded argument that I've heard in the past. Yours, obviously, a very well-made point. To wrap this up, we're about to have an international break right after all this craziness. You mentioned how good you are in the groups. Convenient, you have the glory ties against Malta and Slovenia in this upcoming international break. What are you expecting to see in that one?
6 points. Malta are the, you know, token minnows. And there's long been an argument that teams like that should have their own qualifying previous. But I don't mind them being there. Doesn't make any difference. It's just another game, isn't it? And Slovenia should represent a win for England, because if you count Spain and Germany, if we're looking worldwide, Brazil, and that sort of team among the A grade talent, the people who are always going to be there or thereabouts at the end of tournaments, then England are very much in the B to C class. So there are certain teams that you expect England to beat, and then there are certain teams that it would be a real result if they managed it. And Slovenia fall into the teams that you would expect England to be. So should be 6 points.
And if I had to pin you on where will Rooney play, or if Rooney will play under another new manager?
Well, currently, you've got to say he wouldn't be on the pitch, because he's not on the pitch for Manchester United, and he's not going to be again this weekend. And if the England setup is going to carry on with this idea that players have got to play, then he can't play.
Fair enough. All right, well, that will do it for us for now. Thanks again to you for coming on, doing a double show. But in case people only listen to this one, which you shouldn't, you should go also listen to the Arsenal Club update we just got from Steve. Tell the folks where they can find you, though.
Indeed, yeah. If you want to give me any abuse about me saying that England aren't very good, then feel free to give me a shout at FindPubSport on Twitter. You can also find findpubsport.com online. It's a website where you can go and find local venues to watch live sport. And there's news and blogs and stuff and fixtures on there as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Yeah, cheers, Kev.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.